Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength, Lord, for being up and out and being able to be out and to enjoy our breakfasts. And Lord, I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time in your word. We lift up our songs, Lord. Please work in our hearts and minds. Speak to us, Lord. Please be with those that aren't here, especially Will this morning and Steve. And Lord, help each one. You know what it is that we need, Lord, and I pray that you would supply that, whether it's in an errant thought, Lord, whether it's in the words of a hymn, or the reading, or the announcements, or indeed even the main message. Lord, please work in each one of our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving your Son as a sacrifice for our sins, and the good sense to trust him as our Savior. And Lord, I pray for many more before it's everlasting too late. And I just pray this morning, Lord, for the Royance and the Barr family at this time as they mourn the loss of a father and a grandfather. And pray that you would take this opportunity to minister to each one of them there. We love you and thank you. We ask all of this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the wee hymn books. If you need your C&I glasses, get them on. I know I most certainly do. We're going to begin with 448 this morning. 448, it's all about church, or at least the hymn is. So it's called Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Hymn number 448. We'll remain seated as we sing. Thank you. that have almost like a certain place in the service, like that one there. We're meeting together in church, and then there's the one in the wee black hymn book, God be with you till we meet again, that I like to sing at the end of the service. Anyway, we're staying in the wee book this morning. If you would like to go, well, a fair way towards the other side to 154. 154 is one that we haven't sung that much. It's relatively new to us. It's called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And if you're able, stand with me as we sing this. It's only a wee shorty. There's four verses, but only a couple of lines, please. And I hope that if you haven't heard it before, I hope it's a pleasant experience for you. Amen. Blessed be the tie that binds.
Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm reading from verse 20 to verse 32. 2 Chronicles 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jephthah stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them. They found among them in abundance both riches, dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Beracha, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beracha unto this day. And they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go against Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was in all kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest around about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen.
Just notice, I very trust that you notice also verse 23, where it says that Jehoshaphat went out against Moab and Ammon and Seir, I think it was, and they all destroyed each other, and Jehoshaphat didn't have to do anything but go in and take all their stuff. That's we see that so often in these days with evil, basically evil people and evil factions literally destroying themselves or happy to destroy themselves. But anyway, excellent verses, well worth reading about and well worth continuing on and reading about Jehoshaphat. Interesting writings. Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. We are on the Little Orange prayer list, September 29th to October the 6th. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to this little prayer list? Norman?
So she got the old here.
Oh, good. Is that a thanks?
Yeah.
So we didn't see anything alarming.
No.
That's Eva.
Yeah.
That's good news. Bet you there's a bit of nail chewing going on.
They still want to have a few more things, but she's going to go to Dublin for a couple of white off, but they said, look, this is a natural thing, down to people don't even know they have it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Even having that worry off of your mind helps with your body. Well, that's good news. That's good news. Amen. I know it's probably there, but we would ask that you would continue to pray for the Barr family and the Roylands family. The Barr family, they would be in-laws to a friend of mine, Clive. They lost a father and a grandfather there on Monday night. And I think the funeral was, Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. And we'll just ask that you would pray for them. I don't think any of them are saved, but it would be great if somehow that, well, the Bible does say it is better to be in the house of mourning than of feasting, because you tend to think about more serious things, about eternal things, and I wouldn't wish that situation on anybody, but please do pray for the Barr and the Roylands family. Down in the hospital there, please do pray for Paul Hope, who was admitted to the hospital there for a few days. I don't even know if he's out yet. Contacted me to say thank you for the prayers. I think he had a heart issue, had a procedure, possibly a stent, put in one of the heart valves. So we would appreciate your prayers for the whole family. He's a partner in Goodyear Chinese restaurant down at Frank Long's. So please do pray for his family as well at this time. Amen. Anybody got anything else that they would like prayer for? Great. Has anybody got any private prayer requests? Just give me the nod or the auctioneers. Get a wee paddle up. Well, that's good news. Anybody, any more thanks? Glad to hear about Edith. Always glad to hear about more thanks. No, hopefully not. Right, we'll have a wee word of prayer. And then we'll sing another song or two. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again for everything that you have done for us. Sometimes it takes, it's just worthwhile going through these things a bit at a time to make us truly appreciative of what you have done for us. But even so, Lord, we really do want to thank you, Lord, for looking after Edith. Lord, whatever it was that you changed because of the prayers that were lifted up. But Lord, I pray you please, just for Edith at this time, that you would give her pause for thought and to consider her eternity, even in the wake of such good. Pray as well for the Roylands and Barr families after the loss of a father and a grandfather. And pray that you would minister to each member of the family at this point as well. Lord, for all the many things that we have put before you, for friends and family, for church members, Lord, you know each and every one of the things that we have rattling through our heads. You know the ones, Lord, that we bring to you just in our private prayer time. And I pray, Lord, too, that you would grant these according to your will. We pray you, too, for Israel, Lord, and we remember your promise in Genesis 12, that you will curse those that curse Israel, that you will bless those that bless Israel. And we pray, Father, please, that you would provision Israel and protect them. And, Lord, that you would save the innocent lives. So many of these wars are fought by men sat in comfortable chairs, smoking cigars and drinking brandy. And they're fought by, at their order, Lord, and they're fought by young people that are just being patriots. Lord, I pray for the innocent, and Lord, that the weight and the fault of, Lord, just the way things are, would fall at the feet of those for whom it is due. Please hinder all those, Lord, that are set about devilment and wickedness. Please spare lives. And I pray you, Lord, that you would bless and enable those, Lord, that are out and about doing the right thing, spreading your word, helping folks out, lifting you high and up in their lives. Please be one of our number now, Lord, and I pray you too, Father, for Black Creek over in America and Grace Bible. I pray you for Stan and the folks in Bangor, for Brother Ed and Sister Joan there in Temple Patrick, for Glenn Wilkinson, Lord, up in Lisnagelvin, and I pray you too for Johnny Campbell, Lord, out there in New Buildings. And I know there are many other men, Lord, that love you and are preaching the full counsel of your word. I pray you, Lord, to be with them this morning. And Lord, that you would prepare the speakers and the preachers and the hearers of your word, Lord, in whatever way it is that it is required. I love you and thank you. I know there's a bunch of other stuff on the prayer list and going on in the world. And I pray you, Lord, please, for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, Lord. We leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. 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 We're still in the big book, if you'd like to take and turn there. And turn to 372. 372. This is a favorite of mine. It's called Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. Amen. Hymn number 372, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, or just remain seated as we sing. like that old hymn. Speaking of old hymns, here's one we should probably all know without even reading the books, but I'm not going to embarrass myself by singing it without the book. 244, Amazing Grace. 244, Amazing Grace, written by a fellow called John Newton, who was up to his neck in the slave trade until God really worked a number on his heart, and he became instrumental in getting it abolished, at least in GB. Amazing Grace, if you're able, let's stand as we sing. Check what it is you put your faith in. And I think it was in the book of Acts when the apostles, after the Lord had gone alive up into heaven, came across a bunch of people in their travels called the Bereans. And do you know what they said about them? As the apostles were out preaching on the street corners or in the synagogues, they said the Bereans, they went home and checked their Bibles. They checked their Bibles to make sure that the apostles were telling the truth. And the word of God records them as being more noble. In other words, using the word of God to compare everything else to instead of... is that right? You know what I mean anyway. The word of God's the yardstick, and everything is measured by the word of God. And the word of God records them as being more noble. We should make sure but the things that I am saying up here are actually written in the Bible. Amen. We're going to read about 16 verses of this portion of God's Word. And then I'd like to bring you a few things, a few comforts for when the going gets a little bit tough. Amen. The Word of God records. And seeing the multitudes, he, that is Jesus,
went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. A little something to help you along when the going gets tough. Please close your eyes and bow your heads and join me with a moment prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the freedom that we have to come before you and to just, Lord, open our hearts and give you our petitions and our prayers and our praise, and Lord, even to discuss and meditate upon them. We pray your presence with us now, Lord, that you would make good on your promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be there in the midst. Please, Lord, help us to understand as we read. Please, Lord, put the pieces together in our hearts and minds as we study your word. And Father, I pray that whenever we're done, we would know that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord, in the presence of you, Father. We leave these things at your feet again, Lord. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. And thanking you again, Lord, we ask for all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7 are some of the, I would say, the most powerful words in the Bible. If you have a red letter Bible, that means the words of Christ in red. That means that all of those words are the recorded, remembered words of Jesus Christ. You can read them the same in Mark and Luke and even in John. And they are well worth reading and considering, because these words are recorded for you and me to read as if God was speaking them into our ears even now. As we begin this, the multitudes didn't just all come together. Jesus didn't just pop up in the middle of the street and everybody zoom into him like iron filings to a magnet. The Lord has been going around teaching in the synagogues. Go back to verse number 23 there. He's been preaching the gospel of 23 in the previous chapter. He's been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's been telling people all of these things that we are reading today, God was telling the people back in the day. But more than that, he was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. He was giving people the comfort that the world couldn't give, and knowing that there is a God that loves them and has made it possible for them to get to heaven. And so once he saw all the people, if you found out that someone was doing that in Derry, I wouldn't fault you for being there on a Sunday morning, because I would be there. I would certainly be wanting a piece of that. I have aches and pains. I have things that I could certainly do with the Lord's hand on me. If he was doing the rounds in Derry, I would sit there and I would pack. I would be the wee fellow with the 5 loaves and the 2 tins of tuna. I'd sit and I would wait until I got a chance to speak to him. I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody that wanted to meet Jesus met Jesus. If people were content to head on home when he was finished speaking, that's just fine and dandy. But anybody that wanted to speak to Jesus got to speak to Jesus. He has done all of these things, and so whenever he steps out and people start to follow him, he headed up into a mountain and he started to preach. And it's great. It's great when things are happening, especially when they're happening in your favor, and you know that it is God's hand upon your life that is just steering you over, steering you around pitfalls, lifting you over the traps. But preaching is a whole different beast, because the onus is on us then. I don't know if any of you have done any kind of business. Sometimes, if you're on a training course, they will send you away from where it is that you work. Because if you don't go away from where it is that you work, you're going to be tormented with phone calls and people knocking on your door, and people are going to be interrupting, and you're never going to get a minute to get your head right. So the Lord had everybody up in the mountains, and then he started to preach. Away from the daily grind, away from the ironing, the cooking, the cleaning, the tending to the animals, the neighbours calling in, whatever. And he preaches. And these are things that no man can offer. These are only things that God can offer. And before we get to this is the way you need to view this portion of God's word. God said, blessed are. And that doesn't mean if you go through these things that you're blessed. This is talking about people that are trusting in God. The blessed, the saved, the forgiven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that is speaking to those that realize they are morally and spiritually destitute or bankrupt. In other words, I haven't a hope. In the eyes of a holy God, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. I'm lost. What in the world am I going to do? And that's a good question, because there's nothing in the world you're going to do. It's only the next world that can be a help to you in the God of it, and that is Jesus Christ. I don't know if you remember, but if you're a saved soul, I remember the first moments, hours, even days after that I got saved. One minute I was a heartbroken, headed for hell, and well-deserving of sinner. And then after the moment of repentance, that weight lifted off of me. And I was a new creature in Christ. I had a new life ahead of me. I had a new eternity promised me. I remember that. I was so free at 23 years old. I remember jumping up and down. Does anyone ever remember the wee walls that are about the height of the seat? And they have a wee flat bit on them. And they're like a vanity wall. They're just a boundary line. I remember walking home from the church in Glengormley and jumping up and down the wall. I was so happy. I realized I was busted in the eyes of a holy God. And I asked God to save my soul. And he saved me for free and forever and for sure. I am blessed because I am saved in realizing I needed to get saved and trust in Christ as my Savior. And so is anybody else. The next one says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I need to tell you something, friends. I have been at the funeral of many's a soul, unfortunately. I have had to carry out the funerals of many's soul.
Unfortunately, I would love for everybody that I have ministered to be living forever in, here in this world, but that is not the way it's to be. We live forever in a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But grieving for somebody does not make you holy or blessed. It makes you heartbroken. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn what? The loss of friendship, the wealth, their position, or stuff. God always has something to replace the things that his children lose, and they're so much the better. But this is really speaking about things that are important, like people. Those that die as Christians, that go off to heaven. Goodness, as Christians, we're going to see them again. Goodness, that's the whole point. And you can be comforted in that. Even if you have to bid goodbye to a lost soul that you have ministered to over the years, you can be comforted in knowing that you did everything that you could do. Those that left behind that souls understand we will meet again, not in the broken down bodies that they departed this world in, but in the glorified, living forever bodies that God has prepared for everybody that loves him. It is a difficult one, and we're all sadly old enough here to have been touched by it on a number of occasions, but God is always with the soul, the saved soul, when they stand at a graveside. He is always there. He might have an arm round your shoulders, or he might have an arm under your arm. He might be wiping away those tears. I'm telling you, look, it's the way of the flesh, and that's what happens. But you can make the best of it whenever you put your faith in me. So that's why he says, whenever the blessed mourn, they shall be comforted. Here is another one, and one that is often taken out of context, is blessed are the meek. What does it say? For they shall inherit the earth. And a lot of people take that to mean that blessed are they that have a mat on their back and let everybody walk over the top of them, and it doesn't mean that at all. Because Moses was one called the meekest man in the world. He was so humble and so meek. But yet he led the children of Israel to war against many people in the wilderness. And he had to contend with so much in the wilderness. It means that those souls have chosen God's way rather than their own. That is what it means to be meek. To admit that you're wrong. And trust God that is right for salvation, yes, right enough, but also through life, to obey the God of the Bible rather than your current feelings, because your current feelings are going to change. To obey God rather than the temptations, the things that are out there to take you away from God. And to obey God rather than the opinions of the world, the flesh, and the devil, because they change almost as quickly as people's feelings. It means to look to God's salvation, God's way, and God's attitude, and to trust in God's power and God's comfort. Instead of all of the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil says, we should trust in. Do you ever hear, you ladies may have heard it more than us men, because We men don't believe in retail therapy. We just believe in DIY stores and cars and bikes and things like that. But often I have heard that, it might be a joke, but I've still heard about it, about women, whenever they're not feeling particularly well, going out and getting themselves a dose of retail therapy. Go out and buy something. Exert your power through your mind. You'll feel better, or go and have a drink. Or go and have a hit. I heard a man speaking not that long ago about taking caffeine tablets. He said it was quicker and took less time than brewing a cup of coffee. And he felt like dancing the whole day. Isn't that right, Norman? And yes, sometimes those things can help us out a little bit. If we have a real need, fallen, but will not salve our conscience and will not in the long run help us out. The Lord said, blessed are the meek, those that realize they're wrong and God is right and are prepared to let God have his way in their life, because they will inherit the earth. How is that? If we're doing things God, how are we going to inherit the earth when so much of the earth wants nothing to do with God? You want to see how godly this world is, and a lot of people think it is. You watch how the world treats his people, Israel and Christians, and you will understand this is not God's world. In Revelation 20, it talks about the meek, the saved of all the ages, ruling this world with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, have a wee look from there and read the next chapter. The Bible also says that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Lost folks tend not to be, when they're sitting at the bar, they tend not to be discussing the Bible. They tend not to be discussing the virgin birth or the sin nature of man. When folks have jumped into a stranger's bed, they're not discussing the creation or the current prophecies about the world suffering wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes. That people tend not to be seeking God's will when they are in their sin. But there are people, Christians, who should be wanting to know more about God and more about his word. We should be wanting to grow. And the very word of God, remember what Jesus said to the devil? If you wanted to go back a bit, you could read it in chapter 4. Verse 4, the Lord said, look, food's all well and good, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It will satisfy not your physical hunger, but your spiritual hunger. How is it that I am supposed to believe that? What way am I supposed to follow God? What I need God, some guidance on how to deal with relationships, with money, with going to church or working or how I should treat my friends. I need help, and God has it all in here. Goodness, if you read chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, even as a Christian, that will give you huge insights in how to be healed. But God said, if you do it my way, it'll satisfy you. It'll be the truth. It'll work. As if to put the tin hat on it all, the Lord said himself in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I know the mention of God in the right way has an effect upon a conscience. Those that love the Lord are always glad to hear his name mentioned. Those that don't love the Lord, it pricks their conscience, reminds them they should love the Lord, and the fact that his name is mentioned, but God's way is the right way. If you were a Muslim today, you would believe that the only way is to be a Muslim and to kill those that aren't Muslim. That would be as far as the Middle East goes at the moment, that would pretty much be the way it is. But God's way says, treat everybody right. Treat everybody right. What other religion says that? What other faith sent missionaries across the world over the last 200-300 years? But Great Britain. What countries are sending them out as missionaries now? Britain and America. There's even ones coming from, missionaries coming from China and places that you would never expect them to come from. And Russia, I even heard of a lady that left Russia because it's communist Russia. We get such a hard time, and she got over to, I think it was America, and the state of the churches was so bad that she went back to Russia, where the word of God was valued. She thought that was more important than anything else.
The word of God will satisfy your need to know and give you the direction and strength to do the right thing. And it will show you how to make everything out for the best. Blessed are the merciful. Does anyone remember the Lord's Prayer? Does anyone remember the wee line that says, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us"? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You and I, we don't know how to forgive until we experience forgiveness. We are told as children to share and to be nice to our little brothers and sisters and all of those things. But I remember as a child, there was no forgiveness whenever you were playing games, especially the game of Got You Last. I don't know if you ever played that as a child with your brothers and sisters, where you'd be playing Got You Last, and you didn't play it outside, you played it in the house, and you would hit one of your wee brothers or sisters on the arm or the back and say, "Got You Last," and then you would run and close the door. There was no forgiveness there, because they were going to try and get me last or get somebody else last. Well, it's very easy to carry a grudge because there is a part of us that demands retribution. But whenever you have been forgiven your sins, and if you honestly look at what it is that you have been forgiven, you will realize what God has done for us and provided to us as children. And that should enable us to let things go and forgive those that have wronged us. And we should consider that. Be merciful. Doesn't mean to be a doormat. It means to be merciful. Sometimes we need to forgive just to get that black piece of rot out of our hearts. But the Lord says, "Blessed are the merciful." In fact, it is only the blessed that can truly be merciful. The next one tells us that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know about you folks, but there's times whenever I'm in church, when the devil, all of a sudden, I don't know where the thoughts come from, but bad thoughts will come to my mind, even when we're singing hymns. I remember laughing at the previous pastor, my pastor telling me, he could be reading the most beautiful portion of God's word in church, and the most inopportune time, the worst of thoughts will suddenly flip through his head. There's none of us pure. Every single one of us, the word of God says in the book of Romans, it tells us in Romans chapter 3, it tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Isaiah 53, it tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's the nature of man. In Jeremiah 17, it tells us the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Which one of us is pure in heart? Which one of us? Not one of us. The pure in heart are those whose sins are washed away. The pure in heart are those that have had the blood of Christ given to them as a payment for their sins, so that whenever God looks at you and I, he will see his Son, Jesus Christ. And our sin nature will be gone, and we will get to see God face to face. That's the only way to see God face to face. And that is, of course, after choosing Christ as our Savior. The next one says, blessed are the peacemakers. We've all heard of ambassadors, haven't we? They are people that would go from one country to another and speak on behalf of the country that has sent them. Sometimes there are some of the tech companies have ambassadors to introduce newcomers or visitors to the country and be an intermediary. But the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, those that act as ambassadors of God to those that don't yet know God, How is that being a peacemaker? At the end of John chapter 3, it tells us that the wrath of God abides, literally lives with, any soul that does not trust Christ as Savior. Imagine the wrath of God. I think elsewhere in the Bible it says we would be utterly consumed when God's wrath is kindled, even just a little bit. God doesn't want that for us. He wants peace between us. Even, do you remember the angels? Glory to God in heaven and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Do you remember that? The Christmas story. That's what God came to bring. Peace between him and you. Now for the peacemaker, for the Christian who has a love of lost souls, that might mean you need to do a bit of Bible reading, and you might even be needing to do a wee bit of praying or studying, saying, God, how do those pieces join together? And sometimes it might even mean you opening your cheaper, as they say, and speaking up when you're talking with folks about the Lord. But bringing peace between God and any man, woman, or child would be worth certainly anything, any time on your hands and knees in prayer, and any time with God's word open. Believe you me, it's worth it in the end, and God rewards that work. Those are the good things, those are the pats on the back. The Lord also says that the Christian life is not an easy life. And he says, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember that. And these things happen when you continue to go with God. The next two, if you wanted to read 10 and 11 together, blessed are they which are persecuted, that are reviled, and that speak evil against you for no reason other than because you're living for God. And this speaks of people that are prepared to be seen being Christians. If you're in Israel today, Israel's getting a hard time because of where it is. But whenever we are in different parts of the world, all we have to do is dress like everybody else and speak like everybody else, and no one will even know that we're a Christian. But if we start to be Christians, asking God to bless our food, carrying our Bibles, whistling those good old hymns, or even singing them out loud, and not being afraid of what people will say about us, but putting it out there, people are going to give you a hard time. And there are some parts of the world where that hard time is a sword, or a gun, or a knife. The Lord said, how can you be blessed whenever that's happening to you? Being persecuted does not make you blessed. You are persecuted because you are blessed by God, and because you want to live for God, and you're not going to let the world, the flesh, and the devil, and every soul that is on the broad road that leads to hell tell you who it is you're going to believe in and what it is you're going to do. Goodness gracious me. When you stand up and be a Christian, people are going to feel bad about it. And there are a few who will say, do you know what? I never thought about that. Would you tell me more? Would you show me how to be saved? Because I want what you have. I don't want to be at the mercy of what everybody else thinks or the devil's temptations. I don't want to be as football. I don't want to have to live the way other people say I should live. I want to live the way God says I should live. It pays to trust in the Lord. But I tell you what, there's poor old Joe Biden. And he is old. Certainly not poor financially, but spiritually, bankrupt and destitute. About 4 years ago, Joe Biden could do no wrong. He was the great white hope, so to speak. But now, just 3.5 years later, the tide has turned for Joe Biden. Opinion has turned against him. These people that we were told were going to do such great things have done really bad things. And everybody's turned away from them now. They're being made fun of. They're losing votes. It's all going badly wrong. Do you know what, friends? Things will change in the world, but as far as God's concerned, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the advice that he gave, this preaching that he gave to the souls that took time to go and listen to him, still does the same job for us today as it did 2,000 years ago. The Lord even said, don't be surprised when people give you a hard time because they gave Jesus a hard time. As we look on to just the last three or four verses, the Lord said, rejoice. Be glad because you're going to heaven. In John chapter 10, he said, I will keep you that trust in me in the palm of my hand. And my Father, which is greater than all, he will keep you in the palm of his hand. And no man can pluck you out. So rejoice. Because even on your worst day, Christian, your soul is saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a mansion in heaven prepared for you. There is a new and a glorified body without back pain or hip pain or knee pain or neck pain that doesn't need glasses. There's a new and a glorified body without a sin nature waiting for each Christian in the world. And for by all that we have Jesus fighting our corner in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And we have our Father in heaven listening to all of our words. Because he loves us that much. We should be glad. Doesn't mean we have to be dancing a jig when things are going wrong. We should be glad that we are on our way to heaven. The Lord said, whether the world likes it or not, we are the salt and the light of the earth. In other words, it is God and his teachings is the only thing that keeps the world from falling on each other and eating each other alive. It's the only thing that keeps the wheels of civilization turning and everyone getting a fair shake. And we're called salt and light. And you know the odd thing about salt and light? They only work when they're applied. Is anyone here old enough to remember the old bit of bacon hanging in their granny's scullery? I remember a bit of bacon sitting in my granny's scullery, so you're going back about 50 or more years. And it was salted. There was salt put on it, there was salt rubbed in it. It may even have sat in really salty brine for a long time till the salt got into it. And it stayed good for a week or more. And you just cut off what you want, rub another wee bit of salt on them. Meat can go bad with tons of salt sitting beside it, but meat won't go bad with tons of salt applied to it. And that is God's plan. People need to see that God stops the rot in your heart. Now, I know there's times when the Christian life is a struggle. God has told us that plainly. And there will be opposition from friends and even family and other Christians. But these words should be a reminder to us in these difficult times that even in these difficult times, you're saved, you're loved by God, and provision provided for right now. And as well as that, we have stuff to look forward to. But there's not only these folks. There's many's a promise and a help and assurance in the Word of God as you read it for anybody that will take the time to read it. And each and every one of them, you couldn't buy for money. They're worth more than all the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil will threaten to take from you if you keep on with the Lord. So keep on with the Lord. I've got a wee verse of scripture here that came to mind as I was winding up, and I'd like to share it with you. It's Galatians chapter 6. And it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, or whatever he does, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially, unto them who are of the household of the faith." Amen. A few things to keep your mind set and steadfast when the going gets tough, and the Bible is full of them. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time and your attention. I want to sing a hymn by way of closing. I think I have one marked off here. There it is. Hymn number 65 in the big book. This is one called "Just Over in Glory Land." If you're able, grab your big hymn books, turn to 65, and stand with me as we sing "Just Over in Glory Land."
Over in the glory land, where
suddenly someday, but it'll be a good thing. It'll be a good thing for those that are saved and trusting in the Lord. Folks, it's been good to see you. God bless you. Safe travels home. I look forward to the next appointed time. Let's dismiss with a wee prayer and then be gone. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for preserving your word for us in this little space aside from the world that we can gather together to sing your praises and read it and preach it and teach it. And Lord, please bless it to us as we head in our different direction. Please, Lord, save souls. Please don't be done with us just yet. Please come quickly. Please look after Israel. A whole bunch of stuff yet, Lord. But we love you and thank you. And we leave these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests and for our thoughts for those who couldn't be with us this morning. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.